My name is Caleb Maupin. I'm a journalist. I'm originally from Ohio, but I currently live in New York City. I've been involved in a lot of activism and social justice work in the United States, fighting against the system that we live under. And I've come to Iran. This is the third time I've visited Iran. Every time I come here, I find it to be really delightful and charming, and so I'm happy to be here. It's very brilliant, and it's the way it was written. Everything about it had an amazing kind of insightful aspect to it. What I found to be the most inspiring part of the letter was the fact that he did not tell us what to think, but he rather encouraged us to do our own investigation and find out the truths for ourselves. And this showed a real brilliance, because in the United States, we're always told to think of Iran as a dictatorship, think of Iran as totalitarian, repressive. But our leaders are never telling us what the Supreme Leader of Iran told us, which is to do our own research, to learn the facts for ourselves, to do our own investigation. We never get a call to do our own investigation. And I think that his letter was so much stronger because of that. It didn't give us a presentation of facts. It gave us a challenge to find out for ourselves what the truth actually was. And that was very, very inspiring. I gave it to many young people, all of my friends. I sent the letter to all of them. I made copies that I distributed whenever there were a couple times when I got back from Iran, I gave a speech about like what Iran is like, seeing it for myself, and each time I distributed a copy of the letter with my presentations. And when people read it, they were really surprised. They were expecting that the Supreme Leader would just preach at them and tell them exactly what to believe. And instead, they found a very insightful, very sensitively and carefully written letter urging them to do their own investigation and do their own research. And that was very unique. It was not like what they were expecting, and it really changed their perception of Iran, and it made them question what they had been told by the leaders of the United States about Iran. The youth of Europe and North America are very frustrated right now and are very unhappy because the economic situation in the Western countries is very much declining. We have been told in the United States that you are worthless. So much of the media, it's not even stories about good and evil, no protagonists. It's just following rich people around and seeing how they live. We're taught to worship wealth. And at the same time that we're given this kind of disgusting, you know, worship of wealth, we're being faced with the reality that the situation, the living standard for young people in the United States is far lower. The good-paying industrial jobs, which were kind of the basis of the U.S. economy, we're talking about auto manufacturing, steel manufacturing, they've been gotten rid of. They don't exist any longer. And the public sector of the U.S. economy, universities, teachers, professors, post offices, people who work in government, that's also being eliminated. Young people in the United States and in Europe are facing a job in what they call service sector jobs, where they're, you know, making coffee for people, working in restaurants, making a mere fraction of what their parents made in wages. And they're quite frustrated by it. And at the same time, there is an increase in police repression in the United States. Cameras are everywhere watching everything we do. We hear case after case of the police beating somebody up, murdering somebody, and facing no accountability for their actions. And in those circumstances, there's a rising amount of frustration among the young people in the United States and also in Europe. And based on that, young people are looking for something to believe in, looking for people who have answers. What's wrong with Western society? I myself, I've always known that something's wrong with the society that I live in. There's something not right about it. But I didn't really have anything to put it into words. I didn't have an explanation. And I think young people are looking to documents, things similar to the letter from the Supreme Leader, as they try to find out what's wrong with Western society. One thing that is happening in the US is we're constantly being told now to hate Muslims, hate people of Islamic faith. And I think a lot of young people are questioning the government, and they're questioning that as well. If our leaders, who are lowering our standard of living, destroying the economic situation in the U.S., increasing police repression, are then also telling us to hate Muslims, perhaps that's not the truth. Perhaps this is something we shouldn't believe in. They call it Islamophobia, to be afraid, to be hateful of people of Islamic faith. And I think there are a lot of young people that are questioning that because they see that it's the source of Islamophobia is the same source of the people that are destroying the United States. So maybe they should not believe it, and maybe they should listen to what leaders of the Islamic world are saying. The Israeli lobby in the United States is part of what I call the triangle of evil that has really taken control of Congress, the presidency, the U.S. Supreme Court. First, you have the weapons manufacturers, the people in the Pentagon that make money, Boeing, General Electric. These are entities that make money from war. Wherever there's war, they're manufacturing the weapons and all of that. And then you have the oil companies. We're talking about the Rockefellers, the Carnegies. These are the oil manufacturers that have a real interest in this region of the world and controlling it because there's so much oil here. And they have entered an alliance with this third entity, the Zionist lobby, which is, you know, Zionism is an ideology. It says that Jews are superior to all others, and if you're not Jewish, you're not a human being, and that Jews have the right to beat down all the other peoples. Very much a tribal aspect of a tribal belief system is Zionism. These three entities, the weapons manufacturers, the oil companies, and the Israel lobby, have entered an alliance and really have formed the triangle of evil that now controls the United States. And there are many people in the United States who are very unhappy about that situation, and they don't like it. You know, we have the highest prison population in the entire world in the United States, and we actually have contracts signed between the government and these prisons that if the prison population decreases, that then the government will be sued. So the government is obligated to put so many people in prison in order to please these bankers. Now, that's not a healthy thing. Prisons are supposed to prevent crime, right? That's why we have prisons. That's why we have, you know, any punishment in society is to prevent people from breaking the law. Any sense of morality and justice has really been lost as this triangle of evil has seized control of the United States. I believe that the hope for the United States comes from ordinary people. I don't think we can count on people within the power structure to do it. So there is a possibility of ordinary Americans getting more and more involved in their political process, getting involved in demonstrations and protests. That is a very real possibility. And I'm a journalist, and I feel that my work, the focus of my work, is getting young people in the United States to understand that people in Iran, people in Yemen, people in Palestine, people in Venezuela and Cuba, people in China and Russia who are fighting against these bankers, this triangle of evil, that they're their allies. That we should not empathize with our leaders who have destroyed our future and destroyed the economy. Instead, we should want to align with the people around the world who are U.S. realize that their enemy is the same as the enemy of people all over the world. That could be a potential opening. I know that Iran, Syria, and the Palestinian resistance and others have referred to themselves as the axis of resistance. I think there is a global axis of resistance that is emerging around the world. Many different parts of the world, we see a global axis of resistance emerging. I think what needs to happen is there needs to be a wing of this global axis of resistance that emerges within the United States. I think young people in the U.S. who are mad about police brutality, mad about the economic crisis, need to form their own section of this global axis of resistance and fight for justice. Well, I'm optimistic because so many young people are waking up. So many people are realizing the kind of things that I'm saying right here. They don't have to hear it from me, they're seeing it for themselves, they're investigating. They call the young generation of people in the United States, they call us millennials. That's the term they use. And they say we're always looking at our phones, you know, we're always in our phones, and well, what are we doing on our phones? We're investigating. That's just what Khamenei, the Supreme Leader, told us to do, to investigate, to learn the truth. The reason that young people are always questioning the government and not agreeing is because we're investigating. We've been trained to investigate. And I think as we investigate, we're going to realize that something is very wrong. I have always said that, you know, a war with Russia or a war with China, that's not a war that the U.S. government could fight with drones. They could not just send drones to go fight Russia. That would be a very big war. And if they were going to have such a war, they would have to go to young people, people my age and younger, and tell them, you need to go fight people in Russia and China. And I think that because we're the generation that's learned to research and to investigate, I think that they would not do so. I think a lot of young people in the U.S. understand that their enemies are not in Russia or China or Iran or Venezuela or Palestine. Their enemies are on Wall Street and in Washington, D.C. And if they are told that they need to go fight in some other country, they may very well fight at home instead. And that could be a very interesting situation. Thank you. I'm glad.